The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Hey, thank you very much. Would you wonderful singers all take a deep breath in with me like this? And let it out.
The year is 1980. Ronald Reagan is president. Shows like Miami Vice and Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous debut. We devour self-help books and play Madonna's Material Girl on a loop.
That's right. Once again, let's all take a deep breath in together. And quietly let it out. That's right.
The 80s are overflowing with extravagance and excess. Power suits, McMansions, and Wall Street brokers with slick back hair and cell phones the size of a dictionary.
I want you to sit back in your chairs for this next song. And all of you, close your eyes. And you can just hear my voice singing this song for you. I'll wait till all of you are ready.
And Raffi, he's in his 30s. He's become the sought-after children's musician.
Thanks a lot.
His first three albums were huge hits. He has a national distribution deal, his own record label, and he's packing out concert halls.
Thanks for the clouds so high.
He's making real money. He buys a comfortable house with a big yard for his dog Bundles. Fancy restaurants and fine wine become part of his daily life. Raffi has it all.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for all I've got. Thanks for all I've got.
So why does he feel like something's missing? I'm Chris Garcia, and this is Finding Raffi, a 10-part series from iHeartRadio and Fatherly in partnership with Rococo Punch about the life, philosophy, and the work of Raffi, the man behind the music.
I was brought to a place of wonderment. I mean, I had everything I'd ever wanted in life, including being married to the the cheerleader from a rival high school. I had a successful career now.
Raffi wrote Thanks a Lot in 1980, at a time when he and his wife Deb were literally living the dream. And listening to the song, you can hear so many emotions. Rafi's reflective and vulnerable, maybe even a little sad.
I didn't want to just keep doing more of the same because I'm not that kind of person. I'm not a, well, let's do more of the same. No, I'm not like that. I'm a person who grows with experience and then wonders what's next. So I remember in meditation, praying to the divine, saying, "You've given me everything I've ever wanted. What can I do for you? How might I proceed in a way that feels like service?" I remember that moment. And then, as if in an answer, I was guided towards writing a little song about a wee white whale on the go. And all the goodness that came from that song, that album. And I still listen to that album on occasion. I'm blown away by how beautiful it is.
I'd like to sing Baby Beluga with you. Bum ba bum ba bum. Ba 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 da 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 da. Baby Beluga in the deep blue sea. You swim so wild and you swim so free. Heaven above and the sea below. And a little white whale on the go. Baby Beluga, oh baby Beluga. Is the water warm?
Baby Beluga was an overnight sensation. It's still one of Rafi's most famous songs. He wrote it as a tribute to Kavna, a beluga whale he'd seen at the Vancouver Public Aquarium.
I remember doing my first Cross Canada promotion tour of an album was for Baby Beluga. I remember being in Edmonton, Alberta, and I had 8 interviews in one day. That was a lot. So I sensed that there was something special, but you couldn't know until the years passed how big it was going to be. You couldn't imagine, you know. You curl up snug in your water
bed. The moon is shining. That song fast-forwarded Rafi's stardom. It connected with parents and their kids, an audience who was craving really good music. Suddenly, everyone wanted a piece of Rafi. And advertisers wanted a piece of his fans. And a little white whale on the go. You're just a little white whale on the go. Rafi says he was asked to play some famous venues, places like Madison Square Garden. It was a sign he'd hit the big time. But rather than join the likes of Bruce Springsteen and the Rolling Stones, Rafi said no.
Because the audience would be full of very, very young children in a very huge environment. Not the best environment for them, let alone me as a performer trying to reach them.
Rafi couldn't stomach the fact that his face would be projected on massive screens just so kids sitting in the nosebleeds could catch a glimpse of him.
Well, I'm talking about a musical performance in a hockey rink in front of 20,000 people. Come on. It's not my idea of a good time.
Yeah, especially I feel like with a crowd that young, it might be difficult for everyone. Yeah.
And that's exactly it. And Chris, it's not even a concert hall. It doesn't even have good acoustics. Come on, you know, everything about it would be a challenge. Why would I throw myself into that? To me, my music for children and families has always been about the music, about the feelings, the qualities in the songs that play in the minds and hearts of the very young.
Rafi always put his fans first, and as his audience grew, he found that he needed to protect them even more.
This is the rugged new G.I. Joe adventure team.
Charlie Bangles!
Beautiful doll!
Here's Charlie Bangles' hideaway house.
Here comes a Mazomatics, the car with the brain. Now make a Mustang.
No, I remember there used to be television shows on Saturday morning for kids. They're often cartoon shows or other, you know, and often you couldn't tell the commercial from the show itself. Highly exploitative of the young child who is not old enough to know the pitch aimed at their innocent minds.
The primary goal of advertising and marketing is to train kids to become consumers. Basically, the corporate world discovered children as not just a viable market, but a really big market.
Susan Lin knows all about this. She teaches psychiatry at Harvard Medical School, and she spent her career researching the harmful effects marketing has on kids.
Marketing to children is a factor in so many of the problems facing children today. Childhood obesity, eating disorders, precocious sexuality, youth violence, family stress.
Susan says children have always been marketed to through their televisions. But before the 80s, there were federal guidelines prohibiting how kids were targeted with ads. They were considered too young to understand the difference between commercials and entertainment. But as Raffi was reaching peak success, that all changed. In 1984, the Reagan administration deregulated children's television. And according to Susan, all hell broke loose.
And it became fine to create a program for the sole purpose of selling toys. So that just changed everything.
That's how we got shows like G.I. Joe and My Little Pony, half-hour infomercials masquerading as children's entertainment. Raffi had an audience of young kids, and he couldn't stand marketing to them that way.
When we think of a young child's impressionable mind, respecting that young child for the whole person that young children are, why would anyone who cares about this young audience, who treats them with respect, who holds them with respect for their dignity, why would anyone seek to exploit their innocence, their naivete?
These were the beginning seeds of what Raffi would later call child honoring, a philosophy he would fully embrace years later. He felt that kids should be respected as whole human beings and that they shouldn't be marketed to.
You know, we who want to give young children our best in all our interactions, in all our capacities, our relationships with them, our job is to do that with respect. It's just that simple. You would no longer exploit your own children for monetary gain than you would somebody else's. Isn't that right?
In essence, the childhood years should be full of creativity and exploration. Raffi would later go on to author a book about this philosophy. It included a chapter written by Susan.
This is going to sound simplistic, but I believe that children are people, and they're not teeny tiny adults in little bodies. Their minds are growing and developing. They're deserving of dignity, and they're deserving of kindness. They're deserving of opportunities for self-expression. And Raffi shares those beliefs.
And consumerism ran head-on into those beliefs.
Children are inundated. Our lives are inundated with commercials. We know that. But to try and take the most basic steps to minimize that exposure to commercial brands is a good thing. And we can all do it, especially those of us who are successful, right? Especially us. We're making enough money. I mean, if we don't say no, who will? I mean, really, all of us should. We shouldn't be in it to earn an income via exploitation. That is not okay.
But soon, Raffi would have to put his philosophy to work. Before him, children's music wasn't really seen as its own distinct genre. Raffi felt like kids weren't taken seriously, and what passed for children's entertainment was just a bunch of noise.
Children's entertainment, in some circles, used to be viewed as a magician who would put on a magic show, and he'd say, "I'm going to count to three, and you're going to say abracadabra." And he'd go, "One, two, three." And then people would go, "Abracadabra." And he'd say, "Louder." And then they'd say, "Louder, louder." Kind of said to myself, "What the heck is that? I'm not doing that." You know? So if I'm not doing that, what am I doing? Okay, I'm singing songs. Which songs am I singing? Songs that children can make their own, that they can join me in.
Raffi stood out. His success put a spotlight on his young audience. new listeners who were hungry for good music, and advertisers were paying attention. As Raffi's fame grew, he held fast onto his values, even if there was a cost.
Sure, I knew I was probably saying goodbye to millions of dollars of potential revenue, but so what? That's not what my music making is about.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
In 1992, Raffi had a big Hollywood moment. His song, Raining Like Magic, was featured in the movie Fern Gully, The Last Rainforest. It was an animated film starring Tim Curry and Robin Williams. The story is about a fairy who tries to save a rainforest from loggers. It was Raffi's first time singing in a film. The movie spoke to Raffi. He thought anyone who saw the film would demand that rainforests be protected. It was a cause he'd grow to care about deeply. It felt like a no-brainer. A few years later, Raffi says he got another call from Hollywood. This time, the offer was more complicated. DreamWorks, the powerhouse known for Shrek and Kung Fu Panda, had an idea. They wanted to make an animated movie about Baby Beluga, Raffi's hit song. It was the kind of deal that would splash Raffi's beloved whale on screens all over the world. It had the potential to turn him into an international star and make Raffi crazy rich.
We asked two questions. Would the film be directly advertised to kids via fast food outlets and every other form of direct advertising? Well, the answer was yes. And would there be a whole host of cheap plastic-made characters from the show sold probably through fast food outlets again? Yes. Well, that's all we needed to hear. Turning down an offer of a Baby Beluga film from the makers of Shrek was easy. It took no time.
But you said yes to the Fern Gully movie. How are those different?
Well, only my song, Raining Like Magic, is in the Fern Gully movie. That's what I said yes to. So that's understandable. The Baby Beluga movie is entirely different in that that would be a film inspired by a song that I wrote. And when I learned that the way the film would be marketed would be exploitative of young children and their families, I said no.
I'm trying to understand what it means for you to exploit your audience for commercial gain. Like, what? Where is the line?
I don't do it.
For you.
I don't do it.
You don't do it.
Never. How can you even ask that? Of course I don't. I've never done it.
I wasn't accusing you of it at all, ever, you know?
No, I don't do it. I've never done it. That's not what I'm about. I can't and I will not participate in ventures that would do that.
But you felt comfortable with providing a song to Ferngully. That was okay.
Well, yeah. Why wouldn't it be?
Well, you wrote a great song for it, and at the same time, it was Ferngully was marketed directly to kids and had a Pizza Hut meal, you know?
I wasn't aware of any of that at the time. In fact, if you look at what year it was.
92, I think.
You know, that wasn't even a conversation then. So, you know, if my understanding of these things grew along the decades, then good for me. But no, those things weren't even discussed at the time. At the time, I was happy to be contributing a song to a film that was, you know, looking at the devastation of forest ecologies and so on. And if indeed it was marketed in ways that were not what I would choose, I'm sorry about that, but I wasn't even aware of some of that at the time.
Maybe it's hard to look back and have to dissect why you made the decisions you did. And I get it. I'm an entertainer. It's impossible to understand the ripple effects of every decision you make. And yet, every decision you make is scrutinized by the public. But to the people around Rafi, he did live what he preached. Michael Krieber is a musician and composer and a longtime collaborator with Rafi.
To boil it down, you could say it's integrity. You know, his message, what he believes in is what he does. And that's the best word for it I can find. He has integrity, and it comes from a profound caring, you know, for kids and for the planet and the issues that are close to his heart.
Psychologist Susan Lin was also paying attention to Rafi's decisions.
Taking a stand against commercialism was actually, it might have been in the best interest of his soul, but it wasn't in the best interest of his pocketbook. And that's impressive to me. You know, he could have made a lot more money if he had, you know, done the Baby Beluga movie and commercialized it. There aren't a lot of artists who've done that.
Rafi was trying to change the world by turning down one movie or endorsement deal at a time. But it was kind of like David against Goliath, because the advertising industry was busy teaching kids how to nag their parents more effectively. It's called pester power.
They found that it was helpful if kids had reasons why they wanted something. Like, one example they use is, gee, Mom, I really want Barbie's dream house because Barbie and Ken want to get married and raise a family. And then they identified persistence nagging, which is gimme, 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 gimme. And one of an organization that worked around consumption did a study and found that there were 10 and 11-year-old kids who were nagging 50 times for one thing. And nagging is exhausting.
All you parents listening right now, you know exactly what Susan's talking about. And Susan says nagging affects how kids develop, undermining their critical thinking and emotional stability.
Starting a baby off when their brains are just beginning to make connections, and when we know that habits and behaviors can be formed in early childhood, and to start them off turning to screens for stimulation and for soothing, instead of learning how to self-soothe or to turn to other people or the outside world, for stimulation and for soothing. That works very well for the corporations, the toy industry, the media industry, and today, the tech industry, but not so well for babies and young children.
It's the opposite of Raffi's song, Thanks a Lot.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for the sun in the sky.
That's a celebration of nature and the world around us. It's about gratitude and wonderment. But Susan says advertising not only interrupts children's development, but it also takes advantage of our human flaws.
And marketers count on selfishness. They count on me first. They count on taking care of yourself. And then they count on being able to convince people that they need whatever product in order to take care of themselves. Altruism is not part of commercial culture.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for the moonlit night. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the stars so bright.
What you're presenting when you present music or art to any audience is about the art. It's about the music. And it's not to be confused or muddied by something else that you have no business associating with it, right? For any audience of any age, especially for young children, because they're learning about how the world works, how the adults in their lives are conducting themselves.
Thanks for the people everywhere. Thanks a lot. Thanks for all I've got. Thanks for all I've got. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
One of Raffi's most beloved events was the International Children's Festival in Vancouver. It's the longest-running kids' arts festival in the world. At its height, 90,000 children and their parents gathered for music, theater, and puppetry that highlighted kids' creativity and exploration. And for years, Raffi was the headliner of the event.
They used to keep increasing the size of the tent that I would perform in, the Raffi tent, as they called it. because of the demand for shows. It was just amazing. I would do like 8 shows in 1 week or 10 sometimes.
But all that changed in 2000.
Out of the blue, suddenly I was informed that, oh yeah, this a car company was going to have its cars on the lot of the festival. I thought, what the heck is this? I pulled out so fast. I was really stunned and shocked. And, well, I felt hurt. I felt personally hurt that they would do this.
He didn't want anything to do with that. So he wanted the music to speak for itself and the messages to come through on their own without, you know, commercialism attached to it.
Musician Michael Krieber says he never saw Raffi waver from his beliefs. And together, they played some impressive gigs, like Broadway and Radio City Music Hall.
Yeah, Broadway was a big deal. That was thrilling. And to play all that beautiful music with these kids, he had a great choir. And the choir was assembled from the children of all these luminaries around New York, like people he contacted. Everybody was super friendly.
This was a pretty heady time. They'd teamed up with Phil Ramone, a legendary producer who'd worked with Billy Joel, Paul Simon, and Elton John. But even with all the attention, the Hollywood stars, the media spotlight, and the pressures that come with it, Michael says Raffi was never tempted to commercialize his music.
He's shown that there's a respectful way to treat that audience. That's really the key word, you know. It's a respectful way where you're not trying to take advantage, you know, make them buy stuff. He's a man of principle. That, to me, is a very high principle. And when he talked about it, he was very passionate about it. He says, you know, I just really do not believe marketing to kids is not going to happen with my stuff because it's, you know, it's not fair. They're too vulnerable. They're exposed to millions of images, as we know, day and night, day and night. Most of it, very shallow and commercial. People are selling you stuff, right? So why give them more and call it something to do with Raffi? He didn't want anything to do with that.
Michael admits that walking away from lucrative gigs, and especially ones that really mean something to you, is not so simple.
Of course, it's hard. And I think the entertainment industry is gigantic. You know, people are going to offer you money to endorse their product, or they're going to say, we'll put on a big concert. It's just that our logo will be there. It makes it harder, right? For sure, it's harder.
But maybe this is where Raffi had an advantage. Michael says Raffi had built a loyal following before powerful advertisers came calling, and he gambled that his fans would show up at his concerts and buy his albums, even if he didn't commercialize his name.
Now, I don't know if those choices were easy for him, but he would know that I can sell records from their merit. I can do concerts because I'm a great entertainer. They will come, you know. So I think he knew that and therefore was able to resist some of the commercialism.
I understood that I had to protect this music. I did what I needed to do to protect the artistic integrity, which basically meant that I was going to be in charge of how that album got sold and how it got advertised. It would never be advertised to kids, and it never was. As the promo poster that I designed said, a delightful new children's recording. That's all it said. And the front cover.
All I really need is a song in my heart. In my belly, love in my family.
If you listen to enough of Raffi's music, you start to hear the messages, the seeds Raffi was planting. Take Raffi's song, All I Really Need.
And I need some clean water for drinking. And I need some clean air for breathing.
Raffi wrote it at a time when he had the big house and the flush bank account, a time when he was feeling uneasy with the pressure to make money off his audience by serving them up to advertisers.
Love in my family.
This was Raffi's protest song, his way of pushing back against greed and commercialism. As Michael Krieber says, Raffi's music is sort of like an onion. Peel back each layer and you find deeper meaning.
The song sounds simple, But the message is they're very universal messages, and they're actually very profound messages. When you think about it, all I really need is, well, what is it, you know? Okay, well, I need to eat, and I need love. Kind of a paragon of integrity to do what he does, because if you slip up and it's sort of like, oh, well, Ravi's just another commercial guy. But he's not. He cares about what he's talking about, what he's singing about. Not everybody that has that kind of guts to do it. So quite a bit of weight on your shoulders.
You know, all of this is just an expression of love. Respectful love. That's all it is. Respectful love in action. We can all do it.
Rafi's refusal to market to kids was his first big awakening. But what came next would make him stop performing altogether. Next time on Finding Rafi.
We did our first program for television in 1989 on global warming. I realized that global warming, we called it then, was a real threat. I called it in my script a slow motion catastrophe. I knew that we had to get going on it immediately.
And we heard about this meeting and thought, wow, you know, there's going to be all of these old men sitting around talking about our future. Somebody should be there to represent what's truly at stake.
Finding Rafi is a production of iHeartRadio and Fatherly in partnership with Rococo Punch. It's produced by Catherine Fenollosa, Meredith Honig, and James Trout. Production assistance from Charlotte Livingston. Alex French is our story consultant. Our senior producer is Andrea Aswahe. Emily Foreman is our editor. Fact-checking by Andrea Lopez Cruzado. Rafi's music is courtesy of Troubadour Music. Special thanks to Kim Layton at Troubadour. Our executive producers are Jessica Alpert and John Parati at Rococo Punch, Ty Trimble, Mike Rothman, and Jeff Eisenman at Fatherly, and me, Chris Garcia. Thank you for listening.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.